Glory, glory, what a hell of a way to fly. Glory, glory, what a hell of a way to fly. Glory, glory, what a hell of a way to fly. The hawk will never die. Welcome back to Hawk Hill Focus. This is the week four recap. I can't believe we're already 4 weeks in. This is crazy.
You're telling me, and I can't believe I've only won one of them.
Yeah, that's something we'll get to in a little bit. But this is Commissioner Brandis back from a nice week off. Joined today by Deputy Commissioner Robinson. Sam, thank you, and thank you to David, who is not here today, for hosting the show last week. You guys did a fantastic job.
It was our pleasure. We had a lot of fun, David and I. You know, we missed you, obviously, Kyle. But, you know, we had a good time. You know, a little freestyling between David and I there.
Exactly. You know, it's been three straight weeks now that it's only been a two-host show. You know, Sam, you told me earlier today that you kind of feel like the Cal Ripken of Hawk Hill Focus.
Yeah, you know, everybody else is getting off days, and here I am showing up week over week. But, you know,
no one's not bitter about it.
I love what I do. I love Hawk Hill Focus, especially when David, you know, keeps picking against my team every week and shits on Mike Williams and all of that fun. But I show up every week anyway. It's my duty.
There you go, Sam. That's all we can ask for. What a wild week four it was. Oh, actually, Sam, I didn't even tell you about this. I want to make a league announcement and reminder before we get into any of the recaps for week four. We are heading into week five of the season. This is a reminder to everyone that any players you acquire via trade, this is the last week that any players you acquire via trade and or pick up off of free agency, this is the last week that those players are eligible to be kept for next season. So if you have to pick them up by the end of week five, and they have to stay on your roster for the rest of the season in order for them to be eligible to be kept next year.
And just to make that clear, so they have to be picked up before games start Sunday, pretty much, or like, you know, during games. They can't get picked up on waivers after this week. It has to be before this matchup.
It has to be before their game starts, effectively.
Yeah.
So before week five ends, but you know, we all know that you can't pick someone up after the game starts. So it effectively has to be before their game starts this week for their week five game starts.
Got it. So if you have anybody sitting on the waiver wire there, folks, obviously waivers have passed by the time these episodes get published, but if there's somebody out there that you want to, you know, maybe keep, go pick them up.
Go pick them up. And, you know, that kind of might segue nicely a little bit down the road into the first matchup of the week I want to get into. It's not one I think we'll spend a whole lot of time talking about. It is the All-American Butt Eaters and Jim Elliott absolutely laying a smackdown on the now 0-4 Philly D's Nuts. Jim won by a score of 116.06 to 59.46. You know, with that score of 59 points, Gill is currently on pace to score 968.17 points this year. Not good, Sam. That's not good at all.
No, last time I checked, that is not good. But 116, that is good for Jim. And, you know, I've been banging the drum for a couple of weeks now. It seems like the momentum's starting to snowball here. I'm not going to say why not Jim yet, but it's building. It's
building. Yeah, I mean, he's becoming one of those teams. Like Nick Chubb is looking unstoppable right now. He's the RB1 in our league. You know, I think he's averaging 17 points a game, 18 points a game, 19.9, so almost 20 points a game he's averaging. Oh, wow. He's really leading the way for that All-American Butt Eaters team. TJ Hockenson had a monster week. I know he had two touchdowns. How many yards did he put up this week? He had 108 catches for 179 yards and two touchdowns. That's absurd for a tight end.
That sounds good.
That sounds really good. You know, that just sets all the places up for Jim to be a playoff team this year. You know, and then Patrick Mahomes as quarterback is typically a good thing for your odds there.
Yeah, having an RB1, a tight end that's, you know, viable to break out like that week over week, and Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback, that's a good, you know, foundation.
it's a real good foundation. And then looking at the flip side of this matchup, just not good games. I think, did everyone?
J.K. Dobbins had a good week for Gil.
J.K. Dobbins had a good week coming back from injury, putting up 2 touchdowns, I believe, on Buffalo. But everybody else did awful.
Yeah.
You know, Matthew Stafford, less than, he had 6.76 points. Leonard Fournette, 11.4 points. Not bad, but still less than projection. Those wide receivers, though, 0.9 points from Amari Cooper and a big fat goose egg from Chase Claypool. That is something, actually, looking at Gil's roster, even his bench, his wide receivers put up a whopping 1.6 points combined. That's probably why he's 0-4, I would think.
That definitely plays into it. You think he misses Terry McLaurin right now? Looking at his nakedness of wide receivers.
I bet he does miss Terry McLaurin. Who did he trade? I'm trying to remember. I honestly don't remember who he traded.
Kirk Cousins and Jacoby Myers.
Ah, yes. Both people on his bench this week.
Yeah, not that it would have made a difference. Kirk Cousins did have more points than Matthew Stafford there. But, yeah, not a needle mover there. He's waiting for Dak to come back, but honestly, I don't even know what Dak's going to do. Nothing in my mind can save Gil and Philly D's nuts, other than starting to make some aggressive trades. You know, if he decided to trade away future draft capital to bring in more talent here. But Tyler Higbee is an interesting piece. He's having a good season. You know, maybe Dak comes back and he's good. You have decent running backs with Lenny and Devin Singletary there as your 1-2. And J.K. Dobbins actually would probably even slide in as your 2 at that point. Maybe even your 1. Leonard's having a down year. But we don't have to focus too much on Gil. Good win for Jim, though. We'll see if he can keep rolling.
We'll see if he keeps rolling. And speaking of making moves, Gil did the opposite, actually. Today, as of this recording of what you just said, Sam, he is not trying to trade away draft capital to acquire players. He is willing to trade away his good players for draft capital. To me, specifically. There was a trade made today as of this recording, Tuesday, October 4th, 2022. Gil and Philly D's Nuts traded away star tight end Mark Andrews and a 16th round pick in 2023 to myself for running back Ramondre Stevenson and a second round pick in 2023. I'm very happy with that deal.
I can see you're wearing the Mark Andrews jersey.
I am. I have the Mark Andrews jersey on. We are celebrating today. I'm drinking a beer.
For those who aren't watching the live stream here, not that we have a live stream yet, one day.
One day when Anchor gives us enough money. But Sam, do you want to get into my matchup now that we're talking about my team?
Can we call it our matchup?
Call it our matchup. I really just wanted to segue into it like that, though.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Sam, I want you to take the lead on this and give us this matchup through your eyes.
All right, I can give you a good matchup here. So Kyle and I squared off in what was the closest, I think, doing the fast. Yeah, the closest matchup in this week's slate. Kyle outdueled me 118.5 to 115.2, if you round up, 0.18 if you want to get specific. Going kind of looking at my lineup here, we had some good performances. We had a couple of lackluster ones as well that hurt us. Russell Wilson finally looked like the Russell Wilson that I was waiting to see, putting up 30.5 points. Mike Williams, for as much as he's been getting pooped on this week, other than that week one performance, he hasn't been bad. Like, his second lowest performance is 7.5 points. He had 12 points this week. Like, I'm not here to say, you know, obviously my Cooper Kupp was a little tongue-in-cheek and right, I just, you know, yeah, I'm not here to defend that take, but he's not been a bad wide receiver, especially next to CeeDee Lamb, who's still being, honestly, he's being more productive with Cooper Rush than he was with Dak Prescott. Where we fell short was Darren Waller had 2.5 points, and Najee Harris continues to struggle. Alvin Kamara did not play, which it kind of was a little bit of an alarm for me, as it seemed like he was going to play all week. I did check my lineup at about 7:30 Sunday morning, and it said that he was likely to play. And then Kyle texted me about 5 minutes before kickoff saying, hey, I respect the integrity of our league more than my personal success. I just want you to know that Alvin Kamara has been ruled out of the game. I quickly subbed in Jeff Wilson Jr. So, Kyle, I commend you and applaud you on your sportsmanship. and wanted to let that be known league wide.
Thank you. Thank you. That all that decision almost came back to bite me in the ass.
Almost. Jeff Wilson Jr. came up, whatever, 3 points shy and some change, 3.5 points shy of giving us a Monday Night Miracle there. Kyle, on your end, Josh Allen, despite coming in below projection, 25 points. It's hard to complain about that from a quarterback. Saquon Barkley is really good at football again. Mike Evans.
Mike Evans week, baby.
I was going to say, you had a Mike Evans week. I mean, what was it, 120 yards and 2 touchdowns? I
believe so.
Brandon Cooks put up a solid performance. The Muth was Luth. Javonte Williams is a very, very unfortunate. Obviously, we wish him well and as speedy of a recovery as you can have with the torn ACL.
Yeah, we're a little disappointed in that. You know, obviously not with Javonte, but just with the situation. But we just look forward to him getting healthy over the next, season. He'll forever be a part of this DJ's faster than Lamar team.
But yeah, I mean, takeaways for me, I said this pre-recording, I'll say it on the record as well. Moral victories don't mean anything in fantasy football, but to see my team finally kind of have that, I guess, I don't even want to call it breakout, just hitting expectation game. I'm hoping that we see a lot more 110, 115 point performances moving forward. Hopefully Russ has kind of, gotten to his funk in Denver. Najee Harris is really the only guy, and obviously you'd like to see Darren Waller, but tight ends are a crapshoot in this league anyway. Kind of getting into a little bit more of a groove there, but overall, it's hard to complain about 115 points other than when your opponent scores 118.
Yeah, Sam, I noticed this when looking at the scores. You put up the best lineup possible that you could.
Yeah, no, I left nothing on the table.
You left nothing. You put up the best possible thing you could with what was on your bench. So that's, excellent management from you. Like you said, tight ends are a crapshoot this year. We thank the Muth for everything that he's done, and he's still going to be a part of the team. But we're looking forward to have Mark Andrews fill in that slot next week. And, with Javonte going down, it's finally time for Damian Pierce to step up. He had 19.8 points on my bench this week. Hopefully he can put that into action next week in week 5.
We'll see what he does. I'm intrigued. Any thoughts on you from you, Kyle, on this matchup other than the kind of walkthrough that I already gave the listeners?
No, I mean, it was a great matchup to watch. I was biting my nails last night watching this. Jeff Wilson had that big run to start the game. That was concerning, but thankfully didn't do much else after that. Mike Evans really was our player of the week for DJ's faster than Lamar. He'll get a award from our team management. And we're looking forward to week 5 against, I don't know who we're playing next week. We'll get into it on tomorrow's episode, I guess, though.
Pick'ems.
Pick'ems.
Should we go to the other close matchup, or do you want to go to another blowout here? How do you want
to? We can go to the other close matchup. Might as well.
All right. Let's take a look at the Columbus Curve versus CMCU later. Nick improves to 3-1, which I did not realize. Wow.
He's not having a Nick year.
No, he's not. Especially when you consider, Brian Robinson, I'm assuming Nick put some decent draft capital in, still isn't even back on. I mean, he's back on the practice field, obviously, with his unfortunate preseason. I don't know. Do you call that an injury, I guess?
Situation, we'll call it.
So nothing, everything was outside of that control there. Obviously, that all happened post-draft. So, yeah, I mean, a guy like that has been missing for your entirety of your season to start out 3-1 here. Like, that's a viable flex. But honestly, looking at Nick's roster up and down, I don't really know where you would even squeeze him into your lineup. I mean, you have 3 really good receivers in Devonta Smith, Chris Olave, and DK Metcalf, and then James Conner and Derrick Henry as your backs. Nick's team is pretty legit, and, they squeeze out a win 105 to 101, 102, essentially, from Rob, who goes down to 1-3, and CMCU later.
Yeah, this is a good Nick team. Devontae Smith didn't have a great game, great week. He had 1.7 points. I really think the team MVP of this week for Nick is Greg Joseph, kicker for the Minnesota Vikings. He loves London.
He does.
He does. He put up 18 points in the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, I believe it was.
Yeah, they had good kicking grass because they played a soccer field or something.
That makes sense. But That makes sense. But looking at Rob's team too, this was a tough matchup. Rob put up 100, almost 102 points. You know, there was an unfortunate injury to Cordarrelle Patterson. Did he get knocked out of the game? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, he had to leave early, I believe.
He did leave early. Okay. Yeah, he got knocked out, but still got him 9.8 points. Still not an awful week, especially considering an injury.
Yeah, he got the touchdown there, which saved him.
Right. You know, Cooper Kupp, 12.2 points. That's probably maybe a little disappointing for him. Tyreek Hill had 15.9. So good week for him, but I'm curious to see how he looks moving forward due to the Tua injury. I don't foresee Tua being able to come back very quickly, but, you know, who knows what the doctors down there in Miami will say. Christian McCaffrey kind of came back with 17 points. You know, this week I feel like epitomizes Rob as a fantasy player.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
He is so, his team on paper is so good. And he puts together good weeks. It's just he has the worst, most unfortunate luck, I think, when it comes to fantasy football, whether when it comes to injuries or who he plays that week. It is just, you know, it's starting to become depressing to see week in and week out from Rob. You know, Rob, for me, and I, you know, want to assume from the other boys at Hulk Hill Focus, we love you.
We do.
You know, water finds its level eventually. This luck will come back to you in some way, whether it be this season, whether it be down the line. You know, just try and power through it. That's all I can really say.
Yeah. I mean, again, the pieces always seem to be there for Rob. He's one CMC injury away from probably being a seller again, which is unfortunate. But Rob, I'm feeling a little bit of turnaround and luck here. We know that my random calls are usually pretty solid when it comes to the SJU-FFL, and I'm feeling a little bit of a hot streak coming up for Rob here. I think Tyreek Hill is going to be fine. I did watch Teddy Bridgewater, and he looked pretty good in the offense. I mean, I know we love, and you know, no disrespect to Tua, obviously a very good football player, but there's a lot of quarterbacks that if you give them Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, that they'll look like really, really good quarterbacks. And I think Teddy Bridgewater, you know, is an experienced backup. He has a lot of starting experience in the NFL. I think he'll go in there pretty quick. It's not like they're starting, you know, Cooper Rush, who 4-0. So I don't even know if I should be, you know, using that as an example, but there's a lot of optimism there with the wide receiver core in Miami with Teddy under center is the basis of my point there.
Right. Yeah. No. So curious to see how Tyreek Hill does rest the season. And, you know, Rob, we love you.
Stay strong.
Speaking of the Tua injury, do you want to get into Matt's matchup as Matt is the owner of Tua this year?
Yeah. Matt struggled this week because of the Tua injury.
He did.
2 points from him.
He did. Yes. Matt and the Nerd Squad drops to 2-2, losing to the also now 2-2, my ball, Zach Ertz, owned by Larry Rooney, by a score of 130.6 to 83.1. The Tua injury definitely didn't help. Jalen Waddle, to me, just didn't look the same with Teddy as the quarterback. He also looked visibly shaken up by that Tua injury, which, just let's address that. That was terrifying to watch.
Yeah. Everybody involved in that decision should lose their job.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there are some things that are more important than fantasy football. There are more things important than football. The well-being of players, staff, whoever it might be involved in the NFL, those people in their lives are significantly more important. That was terrifying, disturbing, everything under the sun. And the more you read now about, you know, what kind of got swept under the rug building up to that is even more terrifying and disgusting within the problems of the NFL there and concussion protocol, as they call it.
You know, yeah. So hopefully, you know, those protocols change moving forward. And, you know, best wishes from Hulk Hill Focus to Tua. And hopefully you can get better for the season. But, you know, I have to think, though, this Tua injury, I think, is going to hurt Matt a lot more ways than just at the quarterback position. Like I said, I didn't think Waddle looked that great and that comfortable the rest of the game with Teddy in at quarterback. And that showed. He only got 3.9 points for Matt. You know, is that something that's going to translate during the rest of the season, do you think?
I could see it. Obviously, you know, I made my Teddy comment. And obviously, Teddy's not going to be Tua. There is a slight downgrade there. The thing that Matt does have going for him is the fact that Chris Godwin is back off of IR. Did play this week. He did put up 5.9 points from Matt's IR slot, so I don't even know what you consider that. But he's back. He's at least a body that you could fill in there for now. I mean, you always have – he has Juju sitting on the bench as well. Maybe you try and do an upside play in that KC offense. The bigger concern for me looking at Matt's team is the fact that his backup quarterbacks are Deshaun Watson, who is suspended, and Jacoby Brissett, who is filling in for the suspended quarterback. So will Jacoby Brissett slide in? Will Matt try and find a different quarterback? I have no idea. I would have to imagine that he's leaving Brissett there for a reason, because he thinks he is like the next guy up in his rotation, or else why else would you have three quarterbacks on your roster?
Right.
I'll be intrigued to see what Matt does with his quarterback situation. The rest of his team, you know, he's got a deep roster. We know that. There's a lot of talent there. I think Jalen Waddle will be fine. And maybe you slide in, you know, Chris Godwin to a flex. But again, that's up to Matt. He always finds a way to, you know, get his guys going, though. So we'll see how he responds.
He's crafty. He's a very crafty owner. Just like Larry, who played the waiver wire this week, and he won. He picked up Geno Smith. Yeah, exactly. He picked up Geno Smith as quarterback this week, got him a whopping 35.7 points. I never thought I'd say that sentence in my life, that Geno Smith put up that many fantasy points. And it, you know, he also got a great game from Josh Jacobs, 29.5 points. He's finally back. With Eagles defense, he got 17 points. Zach Ertz put up 10. This was just going back to Matt real quick, just an unfortunate week for all this to happen to Matt in a week where Larry just pops off against them. You know, Zeke even put together an okay game, 8.1 points. You know, is this a sign? Is Larry starting to make a turnaround and come back to the playoffs like he did last year?
I mean, let's just call it what it is. Larry's a very good fantasy football player. Yes. And Larry has lived and died by the boom or bust mentality. And when he booms, he looks great. There are other weeks that he busts. And if he can sneak into the playoffs, all hell can break loose and Ja'Marr Chase can put up 50 points in a championship game and grip a title for me because I have Amon-Ra St. Brown on my bench. So I'm not salty. Larry's team. I mean, this is Larry. This is the epitome. He could put up 40 points next week, and I wouldn't be surprised because he'll get a new quarterback because he doesn't trust Geno against anybody else other than Detroit, who's – I don't even know if they have a defense. I think they just put, like, cardboard cutouts out there at this point. Obviously, a great performance, a great call by Larry to go scoop him up. The Eagles defense, I'll be intrigued if he goes to a different defense or if he stays. You know, he got a good Eagles defense, I believe, off of waivers. I don't think they're already on his roster.
They were a waiver pickup.
So, I mean, they just keep performing. I wouldn't be surprised if Larry decided to hold on to them and just kind of ride with them until they start cooling off. And then the rest of his team, you know, Zach Ertz isn't going for 10 points every week. That's just, you know, the boomer bust nature. Josh Jacobs isn't going off for 29.5 points every week. That's for sure. And other than that, I mean, when you add up out of the 130, almost half came from Geno Smith, Josh Jacobs, and Zach Ertz, the Eagles defense.
Yeah, those are definitely three names I would not want to rely on week in and week out.
Yeah, like if you're going to tell me those are your top three scores every week, I'll say bring it on. Like let's dance. we'll keep playing the waiver wire. He'll continue to get, you know, those diamonds in the rough. So good for Larry for playing the wire. He seems to have that, you know, that algorithm or whatever he's doing down pretty well. Good one for Larry. Good.
He's always a force to be reckoned with.
Hashtag why not Larry.
Hashtag why not Larry. What's the next matchup you want to start out with, Sam?
Let's go to Luca and I am him.
Oof.
Because let me tell you what, he is. He is him. And Julie, your wagon is starting to, I don't know, deteriorate. So maybe you have too much weight on your wagon and it's just slowing down.
It's kind of like, you know, when you see those poor fathers who have to bring all the toys and all the things for their families to the beach one of those beach wagons.
Yeah.
And they're just struggling to pull it through the sand. That's what I'm envisioning with Julie's team right now.
Yeah, like they didn't, you know, they didn't go spend the money on like the those big fancy like beach wagons with the giant tires that roll real nice. They just, they're on vacation for the week. You know, good for you for, you know, saving the money there.
Exactly.
And just bringing one of those little, you know, they just, they're not built for the sand. And Julie, your team is hitting the sand a little bit. I mean, Austin Eckler, welcome back. That's honestly, again, no, there's no such thing as a moral victory in fantasy football, but Julie should be breathing a sigh of relief that Austin Eckler could put up a big game like that. Unfortunately for her, the rest of her team underperformed horrendously.
Drastically. Yeah, that was bad.
Looking at this. I'm not worried about Jalen Hurts. It rained. It was, you know, passing the ball isn't your, you know, you have no reason to worry. Diggs and Pittman, I'm a little bit more worried about Pittman than I am Diggs. With the injuries to Isaiah McKenzie and Jameson Crowder, Stephon Diggs is just going to keep growing his target share. I'm pretty sure he's going to get like 90 targets a game going forward until.
I hope so. I mean, Josh is throwing the ball.
Yeah, like, I mean, they're going to, Josh Allen throws the ball. That's what he does. Dalton Schultz, goose egg. I don't know what's up with him. Did he even play? Or
he did. I just don't think he got many targets.
Well, he had a projection, so I guess he played. Yeah, it's just a down week. And you know what? They happen. It's, I guess in some ways, I always say it's better to do it, have down weeks and look like you got blown out here. Like, were you going to put up 130? Maybe you could have, but it's usually an unlikely expectation. And Luka and his team, after getting carried by Lamar last week, Lamar, you know, law of averages, however that works, goes from 50 points to 15, probably averaging.
Also playing in a rain game, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody on the East Coast played in a rain game this week, given the Hurricane Ian. An interesting play, he started Taysom Hill at the tight end, and it worked for him. 8.1 points. A very, very ballsy play in my book. The fact that he even rosters Taysom Hill is a ballsy play.
I think that was a last-minute pickup, if I'm remembering correctly.
Did he have, like, a guy, or was his... Logan Thomas played. I mean, unless you were just worried, again, same thing about him playing in... Oh, no, they were at Dallas, so they're...
He dropped Hunter Henry on Friday morning to pick up Taysom Hill.
All right, well, good call. It worked. Eight points from him. The stories here, though, are his running backs, specifically Jamal Williams and Miles Sanders, not Tony Pollard, who put up less than a point. They were really good. Miles Sanders, I feel like we've talked about forever, and the Eagles' offense is finally, I think, clicking enough where it's not even about how good is Miles Sanders. It's about how great is this Eagles offense. And I'm not going to go into a tangent of it, but that Miles Sanders is productive.
I mean, maybe Gill is just one season ahead of us.
He might have. Trading Jonathan Taylor for Miles Sanders right now looks like a much different trade than it did last year.
Yes, it would. Yeah, this year would probably look like a lot better trade than it did last year. You know, and
Miles Sanders had 27.5 points. I don't think I said that on the broadcast.
Did we even say what the score of this game was? I honestly can't remember.
John Luca won by a score of 127 to 83. We're all over the place right now.
Yeah, we are. This is chaotic. There's no David here. David really reins us in when he's here as the Hulk Hill focus showrunner.
Last matchup.
Yeah, good job, Luca. We'll talk to you on tomorrow's episode. Into our final matchup of the week. Speaking of David not being here, David was able to show up against Sean, beating absolute beatdown, another beatdown of the week, by a score of 115.5 to 62.88. Sean has to be smashing the panic button now. He has to be.
At a 1-3 start, your number one overall pick isn't doing what he's supposed to do. Most of your other picks are also not doing what they're supposed to do. You're taking a flyer on Kyle Pitts, and it worked one week. Now it doesn't really seem like it. Honestly, surprisingly, the most consistent player on his lineup this year has been Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who he benched this week. And we all know my thoughts on CEH. I strip the lemon title from him now. He is a viable fantasy football player.
It has officially been stripped. He's no longer a lemon.
And to Sean's credit, he did trade for CEH. So, again, he took a flyer on him. He's taking on Kyle Pitts. Maybe that works out. But you got to be smashing the panic button a little bit. Kyler Murray at least looks good. It's just unfortunate that your biggest, the biggest brick on your proverbial foot in the bottom of the pool where you are, Sean, is Jonathan Taylor's lack of productivity. Does he get to the point where he benches Jonathan Taylor? I have no idea. Does he trade him for Miles Sanders? Maybe.
But feels fantastic trade, I think.
Yeah, at this point, Gill would be the winner of that one. But even Terry McLaurin, maybe Gill was ahead of that 1 point this week, 1.5. So we'll see. Again, it's hard. Fantasy, you know, James Robinson put up 3 points, again, playing in that monsoon of a Philadelphia game. So I don't think it's entire. The 62-point performance, final score was 62-115. I don't think the 62 is indicative of Sean's season. I don't think we're right about him scoring under 1,000 points for the entire year. But the 1-3 start and getting beat down like this, there are a lot of good teams in this league this year. So you got to be worried if you're Sean.
Yeah, I mean, don't be fully afraid. I started 0-4 last year, still made the playoffs. I will ring that bell any chance I get. It also doesn't help when you go up against a team that has Rashad Penny go off for almost 28 points. You look fantastic against that awful Detroit defense.
Yeah, Rashad Penny's a really good football player, and when he gets the football in his hands, he does really good things. So, like, it adds up to fantasy points. You know, fantasy football is not a hard game. You start the good guys and you bench the bad guys, and David did a good job of that this week. Every single person on his bench, minus Marcus Mariota, who had 3.8 points, went for under 3 points this week. So, good on David for quite literally getting every little last squeeze of juice out of his lineup. The boys look good. Justin Herbert's starting to look a little bit healthier again. You might need some running back help. The fact that you're starting Craig Reynolds, David, you might want to talk to someone about that.
Yeah, when I saw he was starting Craig Reynolds, I said he is desperate.
I almost texted him, offering him a trade of some sort. I was like, listen, I got Michael Carter. I got Jeff Wilson. Like, someone. I mean, this is before the Kamara injury where I thought maybe Jeff Wilson was a little bit more expendable.
Right.
But I was like, dude, like, you're starting Craig Reynolds. You need help.
Yeah, that's not good.
But it's got to be a good feeling for David to get to 500 despite those running back struggles.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to ride with those running backs for the rest of the season. David actually just completed a Venmo request that I sent him. So thanks, David. It's going to be hard to
make it. We'll see where David Montgomery, obviously he didn't play this week. So we'll see where he kind of, pans out at some point. But if he's out for a while, David might be in trouble.
Yeah. David's praying he comes back. So any last thoughts on week 4 action, Sam?
Nothing for me. Just I'm thinking of someone who's never in trouble.
Huh.
Someone who's always, in the good graces of the people here at Hawk Hill Focus.
Huh, whoever could that be, Sam?
That would be our sponsor, Anchor.
Anchor? What's Anchor?
Let's hear from them. Thank you, Anchor, for being a proud sponsor of Hawk Hill Focus. We greatly appreciate your partnership and everything you do for us here, being a wonderful platform. They are the true MVPs, Kyle. What did you say?
I would really say so. We wouldn't be able to put on this show without them.
Yeah. Now, a fantasy football MVP that we had this week, getting into our favorite segment of the recap episode, is weekly awards. So, Kyle, you and I were pretty even on this. David, who's not here, did submit awards, so we will, I guess, read his off as well. But do you want to talk about who you and I picked as our week MVP?
I absolutely can. First, I'll just say David picked Greg Joseph, Knicks kicker, as MVP, which isn't a bad selection at all. I talked about how much he loves London, so, good for Greg.
Yeah, good for Greg.
Our MVP holds a near and dear spot in my heart.
Not in mine.
He has been on my team for all 7 years of the SJU FFL in some way, shape, and or form. It is Mr. Mike Evans putting up 22.3 points. I was watching that game at the bar on Sunday night, and every time they got in the red zone, and looked at Mike Evans, it just made my little heart happy to see him go up, catch those balls, and come down with two touchdowns and 120 yards in a game where I really needed it. It was an MVP performance. He put the team on his back, and we won because of him. So thank you, Mike. It was a Mike Evans week, Sam, wouldn't you say?
Unfortunately, it was. Kyle, another off-air comment I made to you prior to recording. I felt really good. I shouldn't say really good. I felt good about our matchup, where my team was at, heading into Sunday Night Football. And then Sunday Night Football happened. And yes, it was a Mike Evans week. You know, the 120 yards and two touchdowns later. And I didn't even watch the game, to be honest. I just checked the score later that night. And I was just like, holy crap. Like, I got Mike Evans. Like,
you got Mike Evans, son.
It just, like, we all know that Mike Evans is a boom or bust kind of guy. And he boomed big time. So, yeah, I mean, MVP, he quite literally won you the week. I have nothing else to say. Good, a really good week out of Mike Evans, and good for you, Kyle, for rostering him and starting him this week.
Mike and I have built that rapport with each other for the past 7 years. So I'm glad he can keep it going.
Yeah.
Speaking of guys who keep it going, Larry keeps his waiver wire magic going in our pickup of the week. This is a unanimous pickup of the week, so David said the same guy. It had to be quite obvious. It was Geno Smith coming off the waiver wire, scoring 36 points. I think a lot of that more had to do with playing the Detroit defense. But anyway, good on Larry for recognizing that, really, and recognizing that this Detroit defense sucks and can allow 36 points to Geno Smith.
And good on everyone in the Discord that we don't have to have Larry message us again, speaking about how he didn't have a pickup of the week. Larry, you won finally with a good pickup. So
shut the fuck up.
You get pickup of the week. He helped you out. Congrats to you. Played the waiver wire really well. Geno Smith had one heck of a game. You know, I guess one thing, just an irrelevant side comment. I did think about picking up Geno this week due to the Russell Wilson struggles. I don't think I would have started him. I think I would have just like kind of stashed him in case like Russ had another down week. And I'm really glad I didn't, because had I had like rostered Geno, and that would have made enough of, that would have been the bench regret this week.
Oh, absolutely.
It would have been insane. So thanks for picking up Geno, so I didn't get a bench regret.
You know, just speaking of bench regrets, you want to get into what our bench regret was this week?
Yeah, let's do it. Well, we'll start with David's, which didn't really make a lot of sense to us because Kyle, he picked one of your players and you won this week.
I did.
But Damian Pierce had like 19 point something points, like 19.9, almost 20 on your bench.
Yeah.
You had better running backs, or you had worse running backs starting. So I guess like you can call it a bench regret. You didn't put up as many points as you could have, but you won. So I kind of, you know, I'm going to ignore David. The funny part is that we also picked a Damian to be our bench regret, but it wasn't Damian Pierce. It was Damian Harris.
Of CMCU later and Rob Dunning.
Yes. Of CMCU later and Rob Dunning.
Damian Harris put up 14.4 points, which is, you know, Rob needed what? 4.05 points to beat Nick this week. You know, Harris outscored Cordarrelle by that. He outscored Khalil Herbert by that. Didn't outscore Christian McCaffrey by that. But anyway, that's still two spots that you could have put Damian Harris into your lineup, and then you would have won, which is the epitome of a bench regret, because you regret not winning, I bet, Rob. You know, I went to this episode earlier in this episode about how much we love you. But this is probably a tough one to swallow, I would imagine.
Yeah, as a fantasy manager, sometimes you make the right calls, sometimes you don't. Rob, stop making the wrong calls. I don't know what else to tell you. Just start Damian Harris instead when you know he's going to put up more points.
But you know you say that, and then Damian Harris is going to drop like 0.1 point next week, and he's going to sit Khalil Herbert, who's going to have 1,000.
Well, to be fair, you could be like our Fantrax player of the week who started this week, and that would be Mr. Jonathan Taylor, who put up a whopping 2.3 fantasy points from the number one overall pick, who Sean popped a bottle of champagne for on draft night.
I forgot he did that.
For not even 2.5 points. You pop champagne for a guy that put under 2.5 points, Sean.
That's...
Oh, and the rest of your team stunk too.
Yeah, this is three in a row. Three in a row for Jonathan Taylor being Fantrax Player of the Week.
Miles Sanders put up 25 more points this week.
If you want to think about it too, our week one Fantrax Player of the Week was Kyle Pitts, who is now on Sean's roster.
I think Sean should just join Fantrax.
He really should. You know, he's the disappointment of the year by far this year. He's on pace to be Fantrax Owner of the Year. Yeah, Sean, you need to ask Jonathan to step it up a little bit there.
Yeah, and that was also David's pick as well. Unanimous. Jonathan Taylor, our Fantrax Player of the Week for the, is it second or third week in a row at this point?
Third week in a row.
Holy crow.
Yeah, that has to be a record.
4 weeks.
That has to be a record of some sort.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, man. But speaking of record, tomorrow we're going to have the team with the best record in the league. I am him. Gianluca Malea is going to be joining us for an interview where he's going to be talking about his 4-0 start, you know, how he's been adjusting to the league so far, and anything else he wants to talk about. But Sam, what's up?
Said I can't wait.
I can't wait either. Sam, any other thoughts you want to give on week four before we wrap it up for tonight?
You know, overall, David and I signed off last week on the Thursday episode by kind of saying, like, hey, let's have a more competitive week.
We did.
And for the most part, you know, there's always going to be blowouts. I want to, you know, good week, everybody. I think fantasy football is healing. I think we're finally starting to see some good players do good things again. And I hope that kind of continues to progress. And obviously, we'll talk about that more in the Pick'em section of tomorrow's show.
We will indeed. Make sure you listen tomorrow wherever you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Anchor. Sometimes you listen on those when Spotify doesn't let our podcasts work. But, you know, great show, Sam. I will see you tomorrow.
All right. Sing your song, Kyle.
Glory, glory, what a hell of a way to fly. Glory, glory, what a hell of a way to fly. Glory, glory, what a hell of a way to fly. The hawk will never die.